let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
But I'm kind of pulling a dad on us because we're on the third week on the same sermon. Not just the same series, but the same sermon. So, who knew you could talk for 3 hours about two pieces of paper? But you can. Because when you get in God's Word, it comes alive and it becomes a breathing thing and it grows and it speaks to you and it moves you. And it changes you and it messes with you. And you know, that's my hope and my prayer, that every single time you come in here, our main priority is worshiping Him. That's the whole reason we come. We come to fellowship with one another. We come to build each other up. We've come to encourage each other. We've come to speak life into each other. And we've come to speak to God and to worship Him and to encounter Him and to engage in His presence. And then the part that I do, the teaching, that's not really even the main event. Yes, we come to learn and grow, but our real true purpose is to be here to worship and honor God. And to build each other up and to fellowship with one another. And to learn from Him. I never want anything that I tell you to be something that I came up with all on my own, because I might steer you wrong. Now, people might faint when I say this, but I will admit there's been at least maybe one time in my life when I've been wrong. I can think of one. Maybe a few more. But I never want anything that I tell you to be something that's not from the Word of God and not of God. And so, we've been in a series now. This is the fourth week, and I'm not really exactly sure how long this series is going to last, because I thought this was going to be 1 week, and it turned into almost a month on this one sermon. Y'all are probably tired of seeing the same piece of paper in the back of the building. But we're on a series on the fundamentals and how God is calling us back to put first things first. Because many times we get things so out of sorts and our life gets off kilter and out of balance, and we wonder where the lack of balance and all the stress and the junk that we go through is coming from. And I'm speaking to myself too, because we all need to hear this. Because my dad used to say, I just get the first dose. But we wonder why things get so out of balance and so off kilter and mess just seems to continually happen and we can't get a handle on things. And it's because we've lost sight of the fundamentals, the very foundational things that it means to be a child of God, the very things that God commanded us to do first. And that Jesus taught His disciples to do. The first thing that we looked at was worship. And worship is so key. It's so important that we worship and praise God. And that it's not just a Sunday event. But it's a daily encounter with God. In these fundamentals, the whole reason that they are so important to God is because God is trying to connect and encounter and engage us. He's trying to connect with us. And He can't connect with us if we aren't trying to connect with Him. Have you ever tried to call somebody and you ended up playing phone tag? And it took like 10 tries. You call them, get the voicemail. Well, I was just trying to get in touch with you. Give me a call back. And then they call you back and you don't have your phone on. It's on silent or something like that. And then they leave a voicemail and then you call them and you get their voicemail. And this goes back and forth. Now, it used to happen a lot more before text message was invented. But you play phone tag with somebody. Many times, when it comes to the things of God, we just play phone tag. We'll just check in and say, oh yeah, just checking in with you, God, and I'll get back with you later. Call me. And when He calls, we're not prepared to answer because our heart isn't in the right spot. Because we're not in tune to the Holy Spirit. And we talked about worship being the thing that tunes us in, like those old-timey radios. They used to have a dial on them. Man, this makes me sound so old. They used to have a dial on them that you had to tune it in to just right. And then you may have to adjust the antenna. Now, we're not talking about TV antennas. I'm not that far back. Just the radio ones. And, you know, you adjust the antenna and get it just right. And you hear your favorite song coming on. And you're starting to get frustrated because you want to press record because you're trying to make a mixtape. And some of you know what I'm talking about. These younger kids are going, it's just a playlist on my iPod, Miss Kelly. Oh, wait, iPods are out now. It's all on our phones. And so you're tuning it in and you're trying to dial it in just right and get out and adjust the ears and trying to get it perfect to where you can hear what's going on. There were many people adjusting the ears yesterday on the Razorback game. Okay, back to Jesus now. But you tune it in just right. And you can finally hear it perfectly and clear. Well, these fundamentals, especially praise and worship and prayer and fasting, they are like the tuner on the radio that dials you in to the discernment and the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what the fundamentals are. They are the tuner on our spiritual radio that dials us in, gets us right in line, right in step with where God wants us to be. And that's why it's so important that we don't skip these. Well, I'm so busy today, I don't know if I have time to read my Bible. We're coming to that one in weeks to come. I'm not going to put a date on it because you see how this works. But I don't think I got time to read my Bible today. And we lose a little bit of that frequency. We get a little static on the line. Well, I just don't think that, you know, I was planning on fasting, but I just, that cinnamon roll was sent from Jesus. Well, that was the devil. And then a little bit more static, you see. Well, I'm so busy with all this holiday stuff that I'm not going to have time for my praise and worship with God. And then a little bit more static gets in there. And before we know it, we're completely off. We don't switch from AM to FM. We're completely off of where God wants us to be. Because we're not tuned in to the Holy Spirit. And these fundamentals are the things that drive us and tune us in to the Holy Spirit. And they are the things that keep us on track and keep us from getting lost and keep us from getting off of that straight and narrow path that God has laid out for us. If we don't tune in just right, we will miss the things of God. We will miss God's perfect plan for our life. We will miss little God opportunities and God windows that He throws at us every day. That's why these are so important, because they keep us in that perfect little sweet spot. What does Psalm 91 say? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Or he who is in the secret place of the Most High. I'm getting this all messed up. I'm going to open up my Bible and quote this correctly to you. He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And only then can you say that your Lord is your rock and your defense and your fortress. And only then can you fully put your trust in Him, because you're lining yourself up with that secret sweet spot that He has for you. When Moses and God were talking, God told him, there's a place by me. There's a place by me. God has a place for you, a specific spot that He wants you to be in. And these fundamentals line us up in that perfect spot. They make sure that we're in our place, that we're taking our position, that we're doing everything that God has called us to do. So when we talked about worship, how it was so important that our worship be a lifestyle and not just a Sunday morning event. And there's still some words for worship that are listed in the Bible if you want to do that 58-word study of the words for praise and worship in the Bible. It will change the way that you think about your worship to God. Because then you'll really understand, well, you know, why do those crazy people put their hands in the air? Nobody got a gun to their head. No, we understand that we're surrendering. The word for this is yada. We extend our hands toward God. We surrender to Him like a child. And then we talked about how prayer is fundamental. You can't be friends with somebody if you'll never talk to them. It's just not going to happen. And we can't be a friend of God if we never speak to Him, if we never talk to Him, if we never communicate with Him, and if we never listen for Him to talk back. You know, God will talk back. And it's not some scary, weird thing. God will talk back. He wants to talk back to us. Many times, we just leave our prayer list and then we go and say, okay, God, see you later. We leave God a voicemail instead of a conversation. I challenge you. Quit leaving God voicemails. He wants to speak to you. Simply put, prayer is communication with God. And He longs to communicate with you. He created you to communicate with you. He created you to use you. He created you to love on you. He created you for a purpose. And He's put passions and giftings and desires in your heart for a purpose. We talked about how we were commanded to pray. And we talked about all the different types of prayer that there are. Last week, we talked about how prayer is constructed. And we looked at the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and I encourage you to study that along with Isaiah 58 this week. And how God can ask us to pray, how He commanded us to pray, that it starts with acknowledging who He is, and it starts with praise. See, they all fit hand in hand like a little puzzle. We start with the praise. Then we move into the prayer. It all works together. You can't have one without the other. So we start with acknowledging who God is, and we start with praise. We pray that God's will be done in and through us. We pray for God to use us. We pray for Him to open doors so we can walk through and be used by God. And then throughout the week, we're sensitive to the doors being open. We think it's weird when we run into that person that we haven't seen in 6 years at Walmart. Perhaps that's a God encounter. Perhaps you are supposed to speak something into that person's life at that moment. We wonder why we just really made a connection with a lady who took our money at the gas station. Don't skip on the God moments. Be open and be ready to speak encouragement and life and the Word of God to people. Be open and ready to be used by the Lord. Be sensitive to His leading and His guiding. God can move just as good in the front of the peas and carrot section of Walmart as He can in the sanctuary. He can move just as good in your family's home as He can in the sanctuary. He can move just as good in your workplace as He can in the sanctuary. God wants to move everywhere. We just have to be ready to move with Him. And praise and worship and prayer and fasting, they all go together to tune us in to where we don't miss those little moments. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the stuff of life. Y'all are going to hear this sometime, probably in this next year, but I'm reading a book that is messing with me. It's called The Best Yes. And we get so caught up in all the junk in life that we miss the best yes, the best commitment, the best thing that God has for us. Because we get so caught up in all the other commitments that we feel obligated and we have to, and this and that, and gotta take the kids here, gotta go do this and gotta do that. No, what is God saying? You don't gotta do anything but breathe and listen to God. Those are the only things we gotta do. Breathe, eat, sleep, listen to God. Maybe drink some water. Take a shower. But finding that best yes, not overly extending ourselves with the mess of life, but being overly extended in the direction of God so that we can be used by Him. And these fundamentals dial us into that what is best. What is His best for us? What is He speaking to us? What is He saying to us? So we pray that God's will be done in and through us. And we pray that we would be open and that we wouldn't miss those little God moments. Those little spots in our life. Those little things where God just does something and you're like, that was cool. Pray that God's will be done in and through us. Then we make our petition for God and ask for vision. And then we ask for forgiveness when we pray. Asking God to forgive us and asking us to forgive and asking God to help us forgive others. Because remember, part of the hindrances to our prayer and fasting even, and there's a list of them on the back table if they aren't already all gone. If they're gone, we'll make more. But things that will hinder us when we pray. And if we have unforgiveness in our heart, God says He can't forgive us. If we have bitterness and hatred towards somebody in our heart, God says that He can't forgive us. We need to be truly repentant. And we talked about how, you know, little kids, they go, whenever they get in trouble, and you're like, tell your brother that you're sorry for hitting him in the head with a broom. And they're like, sorry. And they're just standing there, sorry. Nothing about that is sorry, God, nothing. Nothing about that was sorry. Yes. It was an apology, but there was no repentance. Repentance is different than an apology. And when we ask God to forgive us and say, I'm sorry, we need to be in an attitude of repentance. Repentance says, I am truly sorry for hitting you in the head with that broom. And I assure you that that behavior is not going to happen again. Because right now, I'm turning from my wicked ways. And I will never touch that broom again. Repentance is actually changing our behavior. Sorry is just an apology. But when we move from sorry to repentance, then it behooves us to make a lifestyle change. We can't stay the same person and be repentant. It is going to require a change of us. So when we ask God for forgiveness, we need to come in an attitude of repentance to where we're truly sorry for what we have done. We've done and we're prepared to make lifestyle changes so that that type of behavior doesn't happen again. And then we ask for wisdom. We all need wisdom. We all need the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We all need need God to show us how to walk and what way to walk in and how to do it. Solomon, the wisest man on earth, was that way because one night in prayer, after he sacrificed and sacrificed and sacrificed and spilled blood all over the altar, when God came to him and said, "Listen, ask what you want," he asked for wisdom. Because he knew that if he had the wisdom of God, nothing else mattered. If he walked out his life in the wisdom and the knowledge of God, nothing else mattered. So when we pray, when we fast, we ask for wisdom. Because prayer and fasting are like praise and worship and prayer. They go together. And then we end our prayer just the way we began it, with praise and with worship. And so that's where we've been. And so today we're going to look at prayers, buddy, fasting. Now, isn't it just a little bit funny that on the day that we talk about fasting, there is more food back there than you can shake a stick at? Whatever that means. I mean, there is food up to your ears back there. And on the day that we're going to go have our thankfulness feast, we're going to talk about fasting. I just thought that was really funny. I've been thinking about that all week. We're ending on fasting on the day that we're eating more than we usually normally ever eat in our entire life. More pounds of turkey and cranberry sauce will be consumed this week than in the entire year combined. So let's talk about fasting. Because after we do all that, we're going to need some fasting. So here's what the Bible says about fasting. And I encourage you to study it out. First of all, the most basic biblical definition of fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. What it really does is it brings our flesh in line with God. And it puts us at a point where we're sacrificing and we're getting our own self and mess out of the way so we can clearly hear what God is saying. So, the Old Testament law specifically required prayer and fasting for the Day of Atonement. And you can study about that. There's verses of scripture laid out for you to study in the notes on fasting on the Day of Atonement. Moses fasted during the 40 days and nights he was on Mount Sinai when he received the law from God. I'm telling you, if I was writing the law for all of mankind, I would sure want to make sure I got it right. I'd be fasting right there with him. King Jehoshaphat called for a fast in all of Israel when they were about to be attacked by the Moabites and the Ammonites. In response to Jonah's preaching, the men of Nineveh fasted and put on sackcloth. Prayer and fasting was done often in times of distress or trouble, but I would encourage you to not just fast whenever you're in trouble. It's really not good to just have an emergency fasting program. You know, this is my emergency preparedness plan. When everything goes to pot, okay, fast. When everything is good, forget about it. No, that's not what God has called us to. This is a lifestyle. Remember, all of these fundamentals are a lifestyle. They're things that we do on a regular basis to keep us tuned in to that perfect will of God, that best yes, that one true thing that God has called us to. David fasted when he learned that Saul and Jonathan had been killed. Nehemiah had a time of prayer and fasting on learning that Jerusalem was still in ruins before he went and got him to rebuild the wall. Darius, the king of Persia, fasted all night after he was forced to put Daniel in the den of lions. It also carries over into the New Testament, so we can't just say that it was something for those Old Testament people only, because God carries over from one to the next. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't change his mind about anything. Prayer and fasting occurs in the New Testament. Handle worship day and night, fasting and praying in the temple. John the Baptist taught his disciples to fast. Jesus himself fasted. And if Jesus thought it important to fast, how much more should you and I do it? If he set the example, he said, follow me because I'm following God. If he set the example for us, if he came down here and showed us how to do it, and he fasted, how much more do we need to fast? He fasted, and in the middle of that, Satan was trying to get him to make rocks into bread. He was like, you just need some food, Jesus. These rocks could be really yummy. The church at Antioch fasted and sent Paul and Barnabas off on their missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas spent time in prayer and fasting for the appointment of the elders of the churches. When you have a difficult situation, when you have a situation that you need wisdom on and you need the power of God all over, even and that is a really key time to fast. Because it gets you so in tune with God that there's no static. It's not you thinking this. It's not your will coming forward. You are putting yourself in a place of submission to God to clear out the static, to clear out the voices that are speaking negative or positive, and you're listening only to the Holy Spirit. Now, when we fast, it's like praise and worship, and it's like prayer. Jesus said, don't do it for a show. If you read on in Matthew chapter 6, he said, when you fast, he didn't say if you decide, you think you might want to. He said, don't run around with, I'm paraphrasing, this is Kelly Rockett's version of the Bible, read Matthew 6 this week. He said, don't run around, you know, with a sad face, just moping around, just saying, oh, I'm fasting, oh, I'm, you know, we should do it with a thankful spirit and not for a show. And not look at it as some thing you gotta do. You know, I said, one time I was like, well, I gotta go do this. I forget what I was even talking about to Josh. And I was telling him, I gotta go do this. And all I meant was, you know, hey, it's time for me to get up. It's probably gonna work. Well, I gotta get over there and go to work this morning. And he was like, well, you don't have to. He was reminding me that I kind of was having a grumpy moment. Which, if we're all truthful, you have grumpy moments too. I should be glad that I get the opportunity to go do this. And you and I should be glad that we get the opportunity to tune into the Holy Spirit for prayer and fasting. And not look at it as some kind of burden, but look at it as a blessing. An opportunity to draw closer to God. An opportunity to get more of ourself out of the way and get closer to Him. So when we fast, we don't do it for a show. Or we don't do it because we have to. If we're doing these things because we have to, that's the wrong heart mentality. That's the wrong mindset to go into anything in our life with Christ. We should do it out of a thankful heart, out of an excited spirit, ready to get closer and draw closer to God. So I encourage you to make fasting a part, a regular part of your lifestyle. And I would encourage us to corporately make it a regular part of our lifestyle. Because when it's like the prayer of agreement. When we come together, we are more powerful than when we're split up on our own. And so, as we come into this new year, I would encourage you to take a day of the week and fast. And I think that, well, Tuesday for me would be a great day because we can even corporate prayer. Because we have prayer on Tuesday night. And if we corporately fast and then corporately pray, God will even draw closer to us than he already has. Remember, fasting is not an emergency preparedness program. It is a lifestyle with God, where we put our will, ourself, our flesh on hold. And we say, this is not about me. Because it does something to you when you fast. It does something to you physically and spiritually. There is a reason that God commanded us to fast. Just like in praise and worship, when we clap our hands, that releases endorphins and different things in our body that flush out and heal and do all kinds of good stuff within us. And when we pray, we speak those sound waves into the atmosphere that go forward and the energy that goes forward from that and works. And when we fast, it not only does something spiritually, but it does something physically. There's a reason God wanted us to fast. It lets our digestive system rest. It flushes out toxins in our body. It helps us get rid of stress. It cleans us out spiritually and physically. Isaiah chapter 58. They were talking about fasting. Verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. They seek and inquire and require of me daily, externally. Notice that. To know my ways, as if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness and pursued not the ordinance of their God. They ask me of righteous judgments, and they delight to draw near to God in visible ways. So notice that the nation at this point is just coming to God for a show. They're just doing it externally. They're doing it because it's like some people come to church. I did it because grandma did it. There's no real heart exchange happening here. It's just some religious act and ritual. And when we come into praise and worship, and when we come into prayer and fasting, God forbid that we do it as some religious act or ritual. God is calling us to a heart-to-heart exchange with him. God is calling us to press into him so that we become more one with him. And it's less of us and more of him. Verse 3. Why have we fasted, they say, and do you not see it? Why have we afflicted ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? So they're complaining because they say, we fasted, and we don't have any more answers than when we started with. Why? Because it was not a heart-to-heart exchange with God. They were just doing all this for a show. They had forgotten the reality of a relationship with God, and they had fallen into just some religious act that they were doing. I hope that we never make this some religious act that we come in here. But we come because of our relationship with God. Behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins. So notice, you should be grieving because of your sin. You should be repentant. And instead, you're just going on breaking the law. and find profit in your business instead of stopping all work, as the law implies. You leave your workmen for it to do. You absorb them from your hired servants, full amount of labor. So he's saying, you should be repenting to me right now, but all that you're doing is trying to find loopholes in my law so you can continue to do what you want to do. And how many times are we guilty of that? When God is convicting us of something, and what we try to do is find loopholes to get around and skate around so we can be just enough to where it's not exactly off the narrow path, but we're so much farther on the edge that any little wind could knock us over. He said, you're asking me why you don't see the results of your prayer and fasting, but all you're doing is doing it for a show and finding loopholes in my law to try to get around the things that I've told you to do. The facts are, verse 4, you fast only for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. So remember, when we pray, when we praise, when we worship, when we fast, it's all about getting our heart right and getting our flesh gone to where it's His will, His way, and we're sincerely coming to Him out of repentance. Not just saying, I'm sorry. Not just looking for a get into heaven free card. But we are looking for genuine relationship with God that's going to mess with us. Verse 5. Is such a fast as yours what I've chosen? So God's saying, a day for man to mumble or humble himself with sorrow in his soul? Is true fasting merely mechanical? Is it only to bow his head like a bulrush and spread sackcloth and ashes under him? To indicate the condition of heart that he does not have. Woo! Will you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? So again, when we fast, when we pray, when we praise, when we worship, we need to have our heart right first. We need to repent, and it needs to come out of a place where we are wanting to draw closer to God, not just to do some religious act because we think it will make us look better to God. God sees everything. We don't have to put on a show for Him. And there's nobody here on earth worth putting on the show for. Not any foreign dignitary, not any leader, not any congressman, not any president, not any king, not anybody. Worth putting on the show for. God has called us to be real. Verse 6, brother, is not this the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every enslaving yoke. So, he's saying, this is the fast that I've chosen. There's power in fasting. Fasting brings the supernatural power of God to work in our life. It gets rid of our mess, and it helps us get in line with God and tune in and be so in tune with the Holy Spirit that we walk so close to God that we don't miss those God moments. Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless and poor into your house? When you see the naked, you cover them and hide not yourself from the needs of your own flesh and blood? This is the kind of fast that God wants. That when we fast, verse 8, your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing, your restoration, and power of new life shall spring forth speedily. Your righteousness, your lightness, your justice, your right relationship with God will go before you, conducting you to peace and prosperity. And the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away from your mixed yokes of oppression, where do you find them? The finger pointed in scorn toward the oppressed or the godly, and from every false form of false, harsh, and unjust wicked speaking. And if you pour out that with which you sustain your own life for the hungry, and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in darkness, and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday. And the Lord shall guide you continually, satisfying you in dry places, and make strong your bones, and you'll be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. God is calling us closer to Him. God is calling us to a lifestyle of repentance and a lifestyle of a relationship with Him. You know, a father in Mark chapter 9 brought his son to the disciples, and he was possessed with demons. And the disciples prayed, and nothing happened. And the father got the young man and took him to Jesus, who was working with another group. And he prayed, and the demons left. And then when he and his disciples, Jesus had what I call a teachable moment. The disciples came to him after and said, "Listen, what was so different? We prayed too. What was the difference?" And in verse 29 of Mark chapter 9, he said unto them, "This time can only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting." There are some things in our life that we won't get clarity on until we're willing to sacrifice and put off our flesh and say, "God, nothing is more important than me." And we take time to get in the Word of God. When we fast, I encourage you, spend extra time during that time in prayer and in studying the Word of God and in listening to teachings on the Word of God. Spend extra time in praise and worship on that day or those days. The time that you would usually be frying chicken and eating it, take that time and pray and praise and worship. Devote extra time to God. Put yourself in a humble position before the Lord. And remember that when we pray and when we fast, it's not to be done out of selfishness. I encourage you to intercede for others, to pray for others, to fast for others. Like I told you a couple of weeks ago, there are people around the world suffering for the name of Christ. If you look at any kind of news, there are beheadings of Christians. The book of Revelation is happening right in front of our face, all around the world. And in the States right now, we kind of have a blind eye towards it. And we're going on like that, nothing's happening and everything's just rocking along like it always has been. But we need to wake up. Because Revelation is happening right in front of us. The world is wrapping up right in front of us. And now is the time for us to get ready, be ready, and prepare, and get others ready. Because Jesus is returning. And it's not like what my grandpa said it. You know, we've always heard, "Jesus is coming back any day." And we've gotten so used to hearing that it really doesn't mean too much to us anymore. But I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing in front of you, that the Lord is coming back very soon.
Amen.
And we need to get ourselves right. to repent. We need to get ourselves right before God. And then we need to do everything that we can to prepare and to get others prepared. Time is wrapping up. Jesus really is coming soon. And it's going to take us getting back to these fundamental things to put us in a position to be ready for His return. Time is short. We gotta wake up. Get up. Quit living on autopilot. And get back to these core things that God has called us to. Make those our best yes. And get up and take ground for the kingdom of God. And get people prepared because Jesus is soon to return. And God forbid that because we didn't do our part, people die and go to hell. Like the kid said this morning on the way to Children's Church, I knew it was time for that. It is time. Let's stay. God, I thank you for helping us.
Thank you for joining us for Life Church broadcast today. We want to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657, or you can call us at 870-460-0829. Also, check out our new website, www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find our pastor's sermon notes and see what we're doing all around the world as well as at home. We would love to have you in service with us. Come check us out at Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. or Tuesday evening prayer at 7 p.m. and we would love to see you there. We're located at 910 Old Warren Road, right in Monticello, Arkansas. Now remember, go this week and live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.